It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to another video and podcast from fantasyfootballscout.co.uk. My name is David and today I am very honoured to be joined by Ali, FPL Guns, as you may know him from Twitter, who of course is the reigning world champion of FPL. And he's coming to us fresh from a trip to the UK where he has finally received his crown, his prizes for winning FPL last season. So it's been quite an incredible week for you, hasn't it, Ali? How are you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you, especially with full of emotions after a week in London and visiting the games. It's been an amazing 10 days, I believe, and with all the tiredness of traveling, I'm ready to go on with the FPL season.
Yeah, so my understanding is you were at the Arsenal game on Sunday as they beat Man United. What was the, did you went to another match as well, is that right?
Yes, I went to the first game. I barely made the Fulham game, actually. So I just entered the stadium and the game has started. So I had a delay on my flight and it was a long story, a long journey. And but I've, I made it on time. So the first game was Fulham game at home. Great atmosphere, amazing game. And it had everything as well, penalties, comebacks, and the result wasn't the one I wanted, but nevertheless it was an amazing game to watch.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, the way that Arsenal have started the season, of course, has been unpredictable in many ways, especially from an FPL perspective, but as you say, from a neutral perspective, they have been quite crazy. I mean, what was it like to see some of the players who, you've had in FPL over the years in the flesh, scoring goals, you know, effectively getting FPL points in the same room as you, if you think about it?
Yeah, it was amazing because I decided to captain Saka against Fulham. So I went against Haaland and it paid off. So he scored a penalty, and watching him Odegaard handing the ball to him, it was really satisfying because when the penalty was given and I didn't really know if he would, if Saka would take it because the last one, Odegaard took it. And I was really happy and I had a feeling that he would score because it's a home crowd. I'm there. It's meant to be, Saka delivered a point.
It's incredible that you, I hadn't actually realized you'd captained him over Haaland. And I suppose on the same weekend, of course, Haaland missed his penalty against Sheffield United. So incredible. You know, it was the right decision in hindsight, but also the right decision in your heart as well, because you were at the game.
Yeah, it was an amazing feeling, to be honest. It's hard to describe. Because, all the drama, we were sitting right over the away stand of Fulham fans. And it was fun to, communicate with them and have a little banter. It was really good.
And I suppose the United game, one of those is a London derby. But the other one, of course, is a less of a derby, more of a rivalry match. What was it like for that one? I mean, Arsenal and Manchester United, two Premier League titans whose rivalry goes back many years, you know, have had all sorts of objects thrown at players like pizzas and all stuff like that. I'm guessing nobody lobbed their pizza on Sunday, but just to be at a game of that type must have also been incredible as well. How did you get on FPL-wise in that game as well?
It was amazing because I grew up watching, you know, Fergie and Wenger rivalry. Henry was always scoring more, you know, more than Van Nistelrooy or other way around. It was a good rivalry, and I really, you know, wanted to visit the United game most of all. And it turned out actually even better than I expected because the drama, VAR decisions, offsides, the goal cancelled, and the comeback. It was an amazing game to watch because it had everything as well. I mean, as a fan, like I experienced all the emotions starting from the start, all the way up to the last game, seconds of the game. And FPL wise, I think I did fairly well. I did over the average, and I had a slight, green arrow jumping. I think I was 700K, and now I'm 600 something. So, it was an okay game week considering that I didn't have a red arrow. So, yeah, it's a mixed feeling when you know your team is actually dominating the game and. The other team, Rashford, scores, who is in your team, obviously. Like, you kind of upset, but on the other hand, you're like, okay, at least it was Rashford. You know, it's not too bad. And the fact that Odegaard just got one back right after the game, right after the goal scored, it was really, you know, the mood was okay. So it was great. I mean, I'm watching more of my... I've kept Martinelli because a lot of people kept... Bruno and sold Martinelli, one of the Arsenal assets, but I you know hold on to him because I think in the next game week he has a good opportunity to deliver big.
Mm. Well, and the same with Rashford as well. I mean, I actually sold Rashford myself, got Maddison, and in the end, it didn't really matter because I got the same points. But it must be nice to have. Well, I say must be nice. You have obviously mentioned there you had to watch Rashford score against your team, but you know to hold on to a player a lot of people are selling, and then he gets a goal as well. There is some satisfaction to that as well.
Yeah, well, of course, it was 50-50 for me between Rashford and Bruno because. At the end, I decided to go, to stick with Rashford because he always delivered in Arsenal games against Arsenal. And I think it was basically just the logic behind was that they will be counter-attacking team. And usually Rashford is on the end of the counter-attack. So this was exactly what I thought it would be. And I didn't want Arsenal to concede, to be honest, but they did. And I wasn't thinking a lot about fantasy at the game because there were just too much emotions. And then when I realized that my team did quite well, it was even better. So.
Icing on the cake. Well, speaking of icing on the cake, you were showing off before we started recording some of the awesome merchandise you've received after your trip to the UK as well. So you absolutely have to show it off to the viewers as well.
This is my fantasy football mug.
Wait, there we go. And that looks like a shirt as well. Is that right?
It is one, yeah.
There we go. He's a full branded man now.
Yeah, I can't really show off all of my stuff, but at least this would make nice. This is a reminder. People who wants to quit at the beginning of the season, but we'll go on to that. We'll talk about it later, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. One last question about the merchandise. Do they still give out stress balls? You know, the little squidgy rubber ball thing. Yeah. You got one of those as well. Oh, excellent.
I got one of those. I got the notebook with the pen as well. With the there's a ball, a Premier League ball. Of football. I mean, what else was there? There's a list of the watches. The fancy watch I got, and of course the goodie bag, the jacket. I mean, the list goes on, and the blue, the headphones, and I think all of the just would like to thank the Fantasy Premier League for all the opportunities they gave me, and the main thing that I visited the UK and finally went on to my favorite team stadium and had get to experience that. So it was an amazing week for me.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. That FPL watch, is it, does it have an alarm every time there's a deadline, or do you need to set that yourself?
I think I'll have to set that
Oh,
myself.
I'd send it back. I want send it back to him. I want that to have alarms for the deadlines, please. Oh, yeah. Well, especially as there's so many Friday ones. Although we are back to Saturdays now, which is quite nice. Which of course is a decent segue to move on to how your team's getting on right now. We've sort of briefly alluded to it a little bit, and of course you have been able to check in with viewers. You know, with your appearance on the FPL Winners on Sunday. So I think a lot of people kind of were aware of how you were getting on after game week two. But what we've got here today is how your team got on in game week three. Then we'll talk about how your team got on in game week four, and then we'll talk about how you're planning for game week five. So should we start with how you got on in game week three? I'm looking at a team with 62 points. It was Pickford, Estupiñán, Chilwell, Saliba, Rashford, Foden, Martinelli, Fernandes, Captain Saka, as we've already talked about, Haaland on just the 4 points for his missed penalty, Jackson, 7 points up front as well, Udogie on the bench, but you weren't alone in that one. Yeah, were your plans going into game week three, how you felt coming out of it? Talk to us about how that's gone.
Yeah, I rolled a transfer in game week two. So I had Pedro instead of Jackson and Luke Shaw instead of Udogie. And well, I used two of my transfers, but I was really hoping that Arsenal will keep a clean sheet and played Saliba instead. So maybe in hindsight, it's easy to tell, but I was maybe hoping for a performance against, I think Spurs were playing, were they against the, what was the game? Okay, they were playing Bournemouth away and Udogie came out with the assist and a clean sheet. I was, you know, maybe hoping that Bournemouth would score, that's why, and Spurs were playing away. So the game week itself turned out really well for me because I held on to Rashford and Bruno. They delivered against Forest at home. And the Saka, of course, as I said, scored the penalty with one bonus point, game 16. Foden came off the bench, had an assist. Haaland, luckily for me, didn't really go crazy. And Jackson scored his goal. So I was thinking to get Sterling, but I didn't really want to sell any of my midfielders. So I had to, you know, get another Chelsea attacker, which was Jackson. Chilwell, of course, was an obvious option. So game week three, I think, was, you know, fairly well. And I jumped over quite a big gap in the overall rank. So there was a green arrow and I was really happy with the result. Just one Odogi benching was really unfortunate. So
yeah, well, game week three, I think, was because we obviously can see on the screen right now the average for the game week was 44, so it was a good game week to have a good game week because a lot of people didn't do all that well. So even just getting to 60 points is going to result in a bigger green arrow than usual, so it was a good week to do it. And a lot of people had sold Man United midfielders to go to Chelsea midfield, and you got 19 points out of holding the two you had. I mean, I think you're the first person I've come across that captained someone other than Haaland for game week three as well. So, I mean, that paid off too as well. So, but I suppose, and we're going to talk about this in a little bit, going against the grain is something that you're probably a little bit more used to, because you kind of have to do that to win FPL, because if you do what everyone else does every week, you're never going to win. And you will remember times when you went against the grain and it paid off. So you can probably do it with more confidence than perhaps many other people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, let's not forget that the beginning of the season, it's one period of time where we, you know, don't want to stress about our overall rank because the points gaps are still very slim, you know. It's and most of the people in top 100, top 50, top 10, they've already used their, you know, triple captains, bench boosts, and all the other chips. So it's you know, you can relax a little bit and take your time with the wild card. I'm not planning on wild carding for a bit now because my team looks okay to me, at least, you know, on paper. And I'm not, you know, running, you know, after the price rises and the squad value, because these are the points that I've been talking a lot in the past, because price rises and team value really, really, squad value pushes you towards, you know, illogical or sometimes rash decisions. And you better wait. It's an international break, and there's no point of making transfers now, maybe catching up. It's we still got time to enjoy it until we realize that we're nowhere near where we want to be. But it's a good time. The beginning of the season is always exciting. You can, you know, as long as you don't, you know, fall too much behind. But I think everybody has a chance to, you know, catch up and do better than they started.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as you say, it is very concertinaed right now. Everyone's very close together. I was just having a look at the difference between your score and my score right now. You're on 260 points total. I'm on 278 points. That's just 18 points, which actually is not very many. You know, if you captain a player who scores a hat-trick and I captain a player who's blanked, you know, you've made that up probably quite quickly. And despite that relatively small gap, there's about 600,000 places between us, which sounds big. But the point is that as you just one really good decision versus one really bad decision from me, for example, away from leapfrogging me. So, yeah, absolutely. Some of the numbers don't need to scare people right now, do they?
Absolutely not, because a lot of people get really upset with their ranks and thinking about quitting FPL in the beginning because they haven't had a good start. But it's... we have to remember that it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. And even if you used all of your chips, it's still, sometimes you use a chip and it just backfires and it turns out really a bad use of a chip. So it's an unpredictable game. And I would encourage everyone to keep playing and keep enjoying the game itself. Bad game weeks happen. My last season, it wasn't perfect. I've had really bad game weeks, blunders, mistakes, transfers in and out in one game week, hits. It all happened. I mean, I still managed to somehow win it in the end, of course, with a good amount of luck on my side. But you have to be prepared and give the luck play itself, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's move on to your game week 4 team then. And we've kind of, again, already alluded to some of this because you've got to watch attacking returns from three players at the Emirates in Rashford, Martinelli, and Saka. But you had Pickford in goal, Estupiñán, Chilwell. You started Udogie this time, just the 5 points. Towards ever thus. You bench him, he gets 12. You start him, he gets 5. Foden and Madison got you 5 and 7 points respectively. Jackson, 1 point. Captain Haaland, obviously, 40. Turner, Saliba, Bullock, and Mbama on the bench. 78 points in total, over the average once again. Another green arrow, as you mentioned, up to 631,636. So yeah, talk us through what went into planning game week 4 and how it went for you.
I was my early thoughts in the beginning of that week, I was thinking, that was a discussion on all Twitter sphere, who to get, Sterling, Madison, or I think there were a couple of other options as well. And I already had two Chelsea assets. And the fact that they played good against Luton team at home, I think, you know, it was a good game to play and to get some confidence. But Forest are not exactly the same. So that really tipped me off Sterling, because I already had Chelsea coverage in Jackson and Chilwell, so I didn't really want to triple up on them. And you know, I was really eager to get one more Spurs asset, because Madison was on form and he had good fixtures. Even though after a couple of game weeks, Madison will be facing Arsenal and Liverpool, I still think there is potential for goals there. And I'm not going to say I was thinking to get Son in my team, but, you know, he's an explosive asset. We all know that. And we didn't really know that he will be playing number 9. And Postecoglou has changed a team a little bit by playing Solomon on the left and Son as a striker. So it really paid off for them. And going forward, they looked really dangerous. And Madison, you know, at least he got one goal. And when you're going for teams like, I mean, this season, the attacking teams that score a lot of goals, and you have to have attacking coverage as well, because otherwise you'll be falling behind. One asset that I don't own still is Mbeumo from Brentford, and he keeps delivering, even scoring penalties, non-penalty goals. I mean, his stats are unbelievable, and I'm not sure how to either to wait until that purple patch ends, whether if it ever ends, I mean, whether just to follow and get him in, because he's the only one that's damaging my rank in terms of the highly owned players that I don't own.
Yeah, Burmo certainly has had a very good start to the season. As you said, it's not just the penalties. He's doing very well outside of the penalty situation as well. And yeah, in terms of how you get to him, it's a tricky one, because certainly United's fixtures are going to turn for the better soon. I'm certainly looking at actually signing Fernandes, to be honest, for game week 6, for example. It's hard to get rid of a City midfielder, even if they, you know, you're not always sure they're going to start. I mean, Foden just keeps on ticking over. Madison, of course, is another one who's ticking over as well. And you kind of already alluded to Martinelli and Saka, you know, quite happy holding them as well. I mean, would you... Yeah, I mean, I suppose you can... Sometimes in FPL, having a setup you're happy with is enough coverage, in inverted commas, for not having someone else who's also in good form, potentially. And that could be the way you go.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible, because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
Yeah, as long as it all mixed up, you know, a lot of factors coming into play, the ownership, the points elsewhere. I mean, when I'm thinking of, it always hurts when you transfer someone out and he goes on and scores. And this is exactly why I'm trying to manage my team with the minimum number of transfers used, because looking at my midfield here, Rashford, Foden, Martinelli, Madison, and Saka, I think they're all, you know, high upside players, and the ceiling when they're on their day is really high. I think City game plays the first game. If we get early team news in terms of having Foden in the starting lineup or Alvarez, I think you know, we might get. Sometimes the City pressers are really getting, you know, embargoed, and we don't get to see even a press conference. But if Pep says something about the starting lineup, I'll consider maybe taking out Foden. But the rest of the team, I think, looks good for a few game weeks at least.
Well, let's talk about the next one then, game week 5. A lot of people are already planning for that particular round of fixtures, even though we've got a little bit of a break before it happens. So I think most people are probably making plans in their heads without necessarily making transfers, of course. And yeah, as you say, your team actually does look set up quite nicely for those fixtures. So I'll just read it through for the benefit of the podcast listeners. Turner in goal is at home against Burnley, for example, is a good fixture. Saliba away at Everton. Chilwell away at Bournemouth. Udogie at home against Sheffield United. Then you've got Rashford at home against Brighton. West Ham are hosting Foden and Haaland, as Man City go to the London Stadium. Then Martinelli and Saka also get to go to Everton as well. Madison are having at Sheffield United. Bournemouth are going to be hosting Chelsea, as we've mentioned already. So that means Jackson has got a favourable fixture. And then what you've got on the bench, you know, is the ones you probably wouldn't want to start anyway. Pickford at home to Arsenal. Estupiñan away at United. Bulldog away at Spurs. Man City obviously are hosting West Ham. So Mbappe is going to be on the bottom of your bench for obvious reasons. Not too much I would change about that, to be honest. I mean, are you presumably in a position to roll your transfer if you wanted to? Having used your transfers last time, you wouldn't be burning one by rolling this week, would you?
No, absolutely not. And that's what I'm thinking at the moment, because if no one gets injured in the international break, which we all know always happens, and I think if my team looks good, I will most likely roll, because next game week, I believe there are a lot of fixture turns for some of the players, and I might, you know, shuffle my team a little bit around. So, but my team looks okay for the next game week. Maybe making a goalkeeper transfer just in case, because Forest has signed another goalkeeper, and this could really, you know, jeopardize the starting place for Turner. But and Pickford, it was an absolute disaster of a player for my team, and I think for the most part of FPL Twitter, a lot of people had Pickford and Turner, and for some reason he's just not for some reason, but Sean Dyche's team was, last year it was really, you could say that in some games they were really good defensively, solid, and Pickford was delivering points, but it's not the case this season. So it was a mistake that I'm looking forward to correct.
Yeah, I mean, the goalkeeper area is actually an area where people are thinking about sorting things out this week, because a lot of people starting 11s do look good, and you don't really want to be left without a goalie. And so, yeah, it's either Pickford, who's been doing terrible, or Turner, who might not even be starting anymore. That is a little bit of a nervous place to be. But I suppose game week 6, as you mentioned, there's some good fixture turns there. For example, you may want to actually reinvest in Bruno Fernandes potentially, or at least some people who don't have a United attacker will probably be looking that direction. Newcastle's fixtures also get good from game week 6 as well. Not really in many teams right now, so they're going to be differentials when you get them. So it's working out ways of really looking for the best upside. And that's what's annoying about the goalkeeper situation, is that sometimes it's a luxury transfer to have to change it. You know, it's not that exciting, is it?
Yeah, it's not exciting at all. In the beginning of the season, I was tired of, I didn't want to invest too much in a goalkeeper, because I think it's just not worth it. And I was really, I gave up on goalkeeper in the start. Week one, so I was like, if it's wrong, it's wrong, it's whatever, it's not like you will be losing too many points in the beginning of the season, because last year I think I haven't had a goalkeeper return all the way up until game week 13 or 12, so I had a combination of Leicester keepers, and they were atrocious, and when I sold them, they start, you know, keeping clean sheets.
So it was,
I'm never lucky with goalkeepers, but hopefully this time my transfer pays out at least off a couple of returns, and we'll see.
I mean, it's incredible that you went as long as maybe game week 13, I think you said, for a first goalkeeper return, and you still won the whole thing, which I suppose is a decent segue into our final little section, which is just, of course, to talk about last season and comparing it with this season, because it's quite interesting to see on Twitter that you put out, and I was going to ask you on this video anyway, and then you've already tweeted it, so very, very grateful for that, in terms of what your overall rank was this time last year after the first four game weeks and how it compared compare with now, and perhaps maybe how it compares with a lot of other people out there who perhaps sat at a rank they're not happy with. So yeah, take us away. What rank were you game week 4 last year? How does that compare with where you're at right now?
Game week 3, I was 2.9 million. And game week 4, I was 1.2 million overall rank. And I didn't have a good start, and I had to go, make some risky decisions and go against Salah. And the beginning of the season is always important to study, to try things. It's if you make risky decisions and it doesn't pay off, you can still recover because there's way too long of a season to go. You know, it's not it's a marathon, it's not a sprint, and you just have to make up points steadily, and sometimes with bad game weeks, they always happen. It's a marathon. As long as we have a long-term plan, we should be improving our overall ranks. And quitting in the beginning of the season, it just doesn't make any sense, because out of 10, 11 million players, there's absolutely not a single one that does well every game week. So you could use all of your chips, but there's, you know, better opportunities. There will be better opportunities throughout the season. And this season is promised to be a normal one with, less of, chaotic scenarios, like a lot of double game weeks, blank game weeks. Typical strategical approach would really help to overcome some of the bad game weeks. So I really advise people to go on with the game, because it's an amazing game we love. Even if you're down in millions of overall rank, you still have more than enough time to overcome and get a better finish. I've spent 4 to 5 weeks writing an ebook about winning FPL, and I'm hopefully the readers. I just want to thank everyone who purchased it, and I think there is a lot of psychological aspects to the game, and the way I was handling the pressure, some of the decision making that led me to a victory in the end. I've described and went over everything pretty much in that ebook called FPL Winning FPL. So I would advise some of my followers just to have that feeling of what I've experienced last year and some of the tips I've touched over there. It's a short book. It will take you not more than 2 hours to read, and it's easy to navigate, and there are some really useful points. And I've been getting a lot of good feedback on it. So make sure you get a copy, and it's easy to access, easy to read, and it might help you improve your rank as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the things that was always stood out to me from your sort of FPL career thus far is not only did you win FPL last year, which of course is well documented, you actually finished in the top 300. Was it about 214, something like that, in the year before? And so, you know, that some people will say, now I'm sort of playing devil's advocate here, there's more skill in finishing at that level than winning it, because you have at least appreciated there's a little bit of luck that takes you from maybe 200 to winning it. But the point is, you've done both. So to finish in the top 300 two seasons in a row, I don't think I've ever come across anyone who's done that. And so I think that sometimes that's a little bit of an under-reported part of your career. So I suppose I mean the book is great anyway, but it's not just about someone who's won FPL, it's about someone who's also finished in the top 300 twice, and that takes just incredible amounts of skill in terms of understanding how the game works, understanding how you work as a person. Something that me and the general talk about a lot on General's Orders is that sometimes your worst enemy in FPL is yourself, because you doubt yourself, or you second guess yourself, or you go with the crowd and things like that. You've had some really, really good practice over both of those seasons of really backing your decision making, and that is one of the reasons why the book is so effective, and hopefully can be effective in helping other people understand how to play FPL in that way.
Absolutely. I could, surely say that if I hadn't finished 215th the year before, I would never have won it. Because the experience up top in top 1K, I would say, helped me to realize a few points, which I describe in a book. There is a game in top 1K is completely different from a game in top 10K or top 20K. It's very, very competitive, but at the same time, once you're up top, there's little competition that's following you in a short term. So it's an interesting moment because when you're ranked 500K, for example, and 20 points gap gets you, let's say, to rank 1 million, you have in a short term, you have basically 1 million opponents that could catch up within a one game week. And once you're playing, let's say in top 100 or something, 20 points gap could, leave you with only 300, 400 opponents. So one thing is that you're fighting against 1 million players. Another thing is you're fighting against 300, 400. So it's a depending on your rank, it's a different game and different strategies because I played it wrong a year before, and some of the lessons learned that year have really helped me to up my game this year. So just overall, it's a fascinating thing. Of course, there's a lot of variance in the game, and I got lucky in most of the time. It's easy to pick a good player and bank on him, but the timing has to be well as well. We all know that Maddison is a good FPL asset, but to nail those 19, 18 points holes, we all know, Wilson has a high ceiling as well. But to nail those really high ceiling holes, you need luck on your side as well, because we all know they're good players. We all know that they will be delivering points, but sometimes we just miss, miss time. The ownership of the player, we buy it at the wrong time and then sell it before it holds. So there's a lot of luck involved. And my answer to everyone that's saying that there's luck, of course there's luck involved, of course there's variance, of course, like, we don't know future, we cannot predict future. All we can do is just make sure that we're prepared, we did our research, we've watched some of the games, and maybe I tested some players just to make it fun. But the rest is, of course, has to happen. Otherwise, if you're unlucky, you're unlucky. Just you don't have to get too upset about it, but just keep on playing the game we love.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's incredible just to hear you talk about how the season before the one you won it helped you win it because you had some practice being in that area of the world. Because, I mean, I've never been as high as that. I think the highest I've ever been in a season for an extended period of time was about 3K. So again, I mean, your echelon is something I've got no experience of. So it's incredible to hear from that. And as you say, a great point to make in terms of how the decision making is actually reflected around timing, because those people at the very top are always going to be invested in the best players, but it's just when are they invested in them and when are they not invested in them and things like that. And the psychological impact of thinking about all these people just over your shoulders must have been a heavy burden. So yeah, being able to learn from your experience on that, I think is going to be really, really helpful for people. Would you be able to just help us understand, like, people who want to go get the ebook, where they can get it from, and yeah, sort of the places it's available, things like that.
Yeah, the link is attached on my Twitter handle. It's pinned to my profile. You just follow the link. It's easy to purchase. Once you click on the PayHip link, there is a link that goes to my online store, and there's just one click away from purchasing it. So once you purchase it, you get the email and you get the link to download the PDF file. So it's easy to access. I haven't seen many complaining about, accessing it, but sometimes people need, some instructions. It's on my Twitter account page, FPL Guns. So you could follow, just drop a follow, and you'll see the pinned link of the to purchase my ebook. So.
Nice. Yeah, nice and easy for people to get a hold of. And certainly now is a good time to be checking it out, with it being the international break and there being a bit of a lull in people's decision-making process. A good time for people to make themselves aware of your journey last year and the year before, and what that can, how that can help their team. And so before we shoot off, just a final few minutes now, the international break obviously is on. Any interesting plans for yourself? I mean, you're probably, I'm going to guess, a little bit exhausted from all that travelling to the UK, but I just wondered if you had any nice plans for that spare time that you get from that decision-making process, or indeed if perhaps you'll maybe be buried in some stats ahead of Game Week 5. So what's the plan?
Fantasy Football Scouts stats section area is just something that I want to dive in, because this couple of weeks were really, really hectic for me, and I didn't really have much time to go get into details and research a little bit more, but I'll be doing just that, because I think I've had a okay start. It's not it could have been better, but I have to catch up really soon, and there's no better place than the Scout membership area, so I'll be diving into stats.
Nice and on brand as well. I mean, funnily enough, I actually had a slide prepared. People are going to think this is all rehearsed. I actually had a slide prepared to remind people to sign up for Fantasy Football Scout membership during the international break, as I do on every video. But you've kind of already done the plug for me, so I appreciate that. It's still 30% off as well. It was still on the preseason prices. So now is a good time to review, because you can kind of review a lot of things without having to make an immediate decision, and you can make some comparisons between certain players and things like that. So yeah, as Ali says, it is actually a very good time to sort out your Scout membership. So thank you very much for that, Ali. Appreciate the help.
Yeah, I shared the, I tweeted about player comparison tool, and I think I had Odegaard and Bruno comparing to each other. And my basic point was that the Odegaard was a better option last year, and a lot of people still was just not convinced about it, and I showed in a graph of Odegaard and Bruno, people still like didn't believe it, even though they goal scored, chances created, non-penalty goals, every other attacking stat was just saying that Odegaard is a better FPL pick than Bruno. And this season as well, like I think Odegaard scored a little bit more points than Bruno. Let's see how everything goes. But there's a lot of great tools. Player comparisons is absolutely amazing. If you don't know who to pick, just go on with your eye test as well as stats. It's a good combination to pick players for.
Yeah, absolutely. And good of you to mention Fernandes as well. Later on today, we're going to have a little video on what to do with Bruno, because the stats are actually very good. And so we'll go into some more detail on that and what that can mean for people's teams. Of course, we've got loads of other content throughout the week as well. We'll have another episode of Deadline Dilemmas with Rich and Praz. We'll have a Q&A on Friday with Az and Sam. Karen will be doing his stats on Saturday. It's a pretty usual week, just without any actual deadlines. We're sort of having some international break specials of all the shows. And of course, next week, they'll all be back on into focusing on Game Week 5. So make sure you like this video, subscribe to the channel, and of course, hit that bell notification so you don't miss any of those. That's everything from me, Ali, unless there's anything you wanted to add to our viewers and our listeners before we go.
Nothing. It's always a pleasure to be on. Thanks for having me.
No worries, man. It's our honor. It's our honor to have the winner himself sipping from his winner's mug as well, just as we sign off. So, yeah, good stuff, and it's good to have you on. And, yeah, well, with that, we'll leave you fine, folks, to enjoy the rest of your international break, and we will see you next time.
Bye-bye.